Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
Welcome back again. Richard, what has become one of the most common forms of parental discipline these days? Now, back in the day, it was spanking.
That was only one answer.
Back in mine too. But maybe that was just my family.
No, it wasn't. It was the whole neighborhood.
Man.
No, it was. It really was.
It was spanking. Spanking was the most common thing in the
We were so poor there was nothing to take. People say, you know, response caught, take something. There was nothing to take.
You can
take
a stick. That sounds like one of those jokes. You're so poor, your parents have to spank you because you don't have anything to take away.
Right. There's nothing to take away. There was no place to go, so you had no privileges. You didn't have any toys because you were too poor.
That's terrible.
So you couldn't turn off the TV because you didn't have one.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. That'll unplug the radio if you don't watch out.
I guess that's the worst thing you could do. And there was only a couple of stations that you would rather not listen to it anyway. You know. It was only spanking. Right? Yeah. Today I would guess timeout.
Yes.
Is it really?
Timeout's one of the most popular forms of discipline. But the problem is, and there was some research that was just recently published, 85% or so of parents are doing it wrong.
Of course they are.
Now,
we talk about this in my class.
Yes, and we talk about it with patients all the time, that, you know, we'll talk with, be working with parents, and we'll introduce the idea of timeout, and like invariably, like, boom, it doesn't work. I tried it, doesn't work.
You know, the scariest consequence of that, and I hadn't thought about it before, but as we've been working in this area, parents will say, well, I've tried timeout and it doesn't work. My first thought typically was, well, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But now I realize, imagine the number of parents who thought, well, I've tried timeout and it doesn't work, so there must be something really wrong with my child.
Right.
And I hadn't thought about that perspective before, but that's what many parents think, is that, well, everybody else uses timeout and it seems to work. If it doesn't work with my child, there has to be something wrong with my child.
Right.
There isn't.
Right.
Probably. It probably is you're doing timeout incorrectly.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So we're referencing here an article from the website Big Think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, do you use timeout to discipline your kids? You're probably doing it wrong is the title.
Right.
They talk about this research that was published that shows that 85% of parents are doing timeout wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the reasons why they're doing it wrong, or those pitfalls, are very consistent with what we see clinically with our patients, as far as what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I thought we would do is talk a little bit about some of those pitfalls and then how to overcome those.
What are we doing incorrectly?
Right.
Right. What's first thing?
Right. So one of the things that we're doing wrong is that we are we're giving too many.
That's right.
Too many warnings.
Yeah. We say, well, you're going to go in timeout. Well, I'm
going to
put
again.
You in timeout. If you go, okay. And they're using timeout as though it's a punishment.
Right.
Punishment in the generic sense.
Right.
And they're saying, I'm going to do something very aversive to you if you don't stop.
Right.
That's problem number one.
Right.
Timeout is not a punishment,
mm-hmm.
okay? It's not meant to be a punishment.
Right.
And so you start issuing these warnings, and you're probably just going to escalate.
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, what the research suggests, one warning, you know, if you do that again, you're going to go to timeout.
Right.
When it happens again, they go to timeout.
Immediately.
Right.
Without comment.
Absolutely.
Because the second problem is we talk too much.
We're giving too much attention at the time that we're either putting the child in timeout or at the time that the child is in timeout.
Right. Because timeout...
What is the full name of timeout?
Timeout from reinforcement.
Right.
Okay. Because what you want to do is you want to remove all reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what it is. And your attention may be the reinforcement.
Right.
So if the goal of timeout is to remove reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
the more you warn, the more you talk, the more you lecture,
right.
the more you're reinforcing.
Right.
So you're moving in exactly the opposite direction.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Which takes us to the third thing, which is when they're in timeout, we should be ignoring them.
Right, right.
Now that sounds, I know that sends a chill through right. most parents. You know, wait, I'm going to ignore them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is, that's really what you need to be doing. Right. You don't, for the same reason, we don't want to be reinforcing them or interacting mm-hmm. with them while they're in timeout because, well, then timeout is just a time for us to talk.
Right. Because the reason we use timeout is there's some behavior that the child is doing that we don't want the child to
right.
do. Something is compelling the child or impelling. Mm-hmm. The child is impelled to perform this behavior. There's something in the child's environment mm-hmm. that is causing that
right.
and reinforcing it. So he keeps doing it.
Right.
By taking all the reinforcement away,
mm-hmm.
the behavior will stop.
Right.
Whatever, even if you don't know what it is, take everything away
right.
and the behavior is going to stop. So that's why we're urging
right.
parents. But once you're in timeout,
mm-hmm.
you also have to stop reinforcing.
Right.
You know, you can't be on the other side of the door. You
right.
can't be. You have to remove everything. In fact, the child doesn't even have to go to another place.
Right.
You can remove all reinforcement with the child sitting right beside you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't have to be there doesn't have to be a timeout room.
Right.
Timeout is just removing the reinforcement.
Right. Right. Now, the next thing that they talk about, I think, is really interesting because it's two ends of the same
right.
spectrum here. And that is, you know, either trying to be too nice
right.
about it
mm-hmm.
or only doing it when you're really angry. And so we have two ends of the same sort of mm-hmm. Spectrum, and we need to avoid both.
That's right.
You know, we're not our kids' friends, especially when our kids are really young,
right.
you know, as they become mm-hmm. adults, of course, we can
right.
have more of the nature of our relationship will change.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're young and we're using timeout, we certainly don't want to try to be their friend and be nice and, you know, because they're going to manipulate that. They're going
right.
to
right.
work with that. At the same time, we don't want to only redirect our kids when we're angry.
We're angry.
Right, because then we end up saying things or being too harsh or saying things that we shouldn't be saying.
And also, they make an excellent point in this article. When you're angry, and typically, probably too often, we start to get angry with
mm-hmm.
our children's behavior, and we gradually move to action, and action would be time. In our generation, action was a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's time out.
Right.
But as soon as you start to get angry and you start to yell and you show your anger, now the whole thing has become about you.
Right.
And the child may mm-hmm. not even realize what he or she has done.
Right.
But it's no longer about that behavior.
Right.
It's about, wow, mom's really angry.
Right.
I'm really in trouble for whatever I did.
Yeah.
But if we shift from the behavior that we don't approve of to the way we're acting.
Right,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So you have to be cautious of that.
Yeah. I've made that mistake a few times.
Yeah.
Oof. I've made every parenting mistake.
We all have.
Man.
We all have. But now, one of the recommendations that I make for parents when they're trying to use timeout is, you know, you want to do it in as consistent a way as possible. So you want to, you know, it's matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not trying to be nice, you're not trying to be mean.
Not angry.
This is, you know, if you do that again, you're going to go to timeout. Right. You did it again, so now it's time for timeout.
Right.
And, you know, the setting is a little bit important.
It
you
is.
Know, as you mm-hmm. said, you don't have to put them in a different room. And the article even says, you know, they don't recommend the use of a specific chair or anything
right.
like that, because then, you know, you start getting into stigmas of, you
right.
know, oh, he's in the timeout chair,
right.
you know, so somebody else comes over and sits in that chair,
ooh.
He must be in trouble, that's a timeout chair. But it doesn't even have to be anything fancy like that. You know, the thing that you want to avoid is the reinforcement.
Right.
You know, one of the parents that I met with before, they said, oh, timeout doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, tell me how you did timeout.
How you do it.
Well, you know, whenever he's in trouble, you know, he sits there. And, you know, I just sit him down in the chair and he, you know, he's just supposed to sit there, but he doesn't seem to learn. I said, well, where is he sitting? Well, I sit him down right there in front of, you know, right there in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he looks out the sliding glass doors while he's sitting. Well, what is he watching outside the sliding door? Oh, he's watching the dog run, and he's laughing about the dog doing chasing the squirrels and doing. Well, that's not
timeout.
That's watching the dog play and laughing at the dog chasing the squirrels.
That's a geographic relocation.
That's right. So you know, you want to put them in a place where there's not those visual, auditory, interactive reinforcers that's going to keep them entertained. I mean, the idea behind timeout really is you want it to be a place that they don't want to go.
It should be boring.
It should be boring.
In the day, back in the day, when we were banished to our bedrooms,
right. Boring. That's a great example.
There was a bed, a dresser, and maybe a small closet.
Right.
There was nothing in there. There wasn't a radio. We didn't have our own radios. We didn't have a TV. Yeah. We didn't have games and toys. There wasn't room. It was a small room that we slept in.
Right.
It wasn't a dirt floor and a log cabin. You got that look again, like, wow. You and Abe Lincoln, right? Mm-hmm. No. But it was boring because you didn't have these electronics. You had one TV set and one radio in a house.
Right.
And so banishing a child to a bedroom was a boring experience. There was nothing to do in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because everything was out in the living room.
Right.
What little you owned was out in the living room.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But today, my gosh, a kid could survive for months in a bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, there's food and they have little refrigerators in their rooms and
all,
you know, snacks. And
Now, one other thing that I do like to mention to as a place to avoid for timeout, a very specific place to avoid for timeout, is I don't like the idea of using the bed as a timeout, as a place for timeout.
Right.
Don't put your child in timeout by making them lay down in bed. Mm-hmm. Don't punish your child or discipline your child by making them take a nap.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're sending the message that having to go to sleep is because you're in trouble.
Right, that's right.
And so what happens with that is that we start to see kids really struggle with bedtime,
right?
Because they're associating bedtime with being in trouble.
Especially if you're using these with preschoolers,
right?
Because they start making these connections that we forget about,
you know? Right?
And they'll make these connections, and then you're creating another problem.
Yeah. Every time I get in trouble,
go to bed because it feels like they're being punished.
Right. If every time I get in trouble, mom makes me lay down in the bed.
Right.
Okay. So now it's bedtime.
Right.
Why do they keep getting up?
Right.
Well, it's probably because they're associating it with being in trouble. So
it's you know, like when we use writing or exercise for punishment. You know,
you
make people run, and you make kids run to punish them.
Right.
And then you want them to run to get in shape. And
or they used to make us write sentences when we were in trouble. You write the same sentence over and over again, and you're thinking, well, I hate writing, and every time I write, it's a punishment.
Writing is equated with punishment.
Right. So, so you want to avoid matching those kinds of things up. You want it to be a boring place that the kid doesn't want to be. And you know, one thing that they did mention in the article that I don't necessarily go along with all the time is the amount of time that you put the child in timeout.
I agree. I had exactly the same thought.
Yeah.
If 10 seconds works, you know, if removing reinforcement for 10 seconds gives the child a sufficient amount of time to regroup and gather himself together, then the timeout has been successful.
5 minutes to a five-year-old is an eternity.
It's an eternity.
So there's no reason to put your child in timeout for that length of time. If they're in timeout and they're doing timeout the way that they're supposed to, they're not talking, they're not crying, they're not getting up, they're sitting there doing what they're supposed to do. Afterwards, you do the, you know, sort of the, you know, summary. You know, let's make sure that we know why you had to go to timeout and make sure you know what you need to do to avoid going to timeout again.
Right.
Let's go. All right, let's get out of here.
And they do advise in the article it should be 1 minute per year of age. So a two-year-old should get 2 minutes, a five-year-old should get 5 minutes. I agree with you. I don't think there's any formula. Now, if your child starts to, you know, you put him in timeout and he jumps up and everything's fine, then he does the same behavior, you put him back in timeout.
Right.
Then and if you get into that little gamesmanship, then you may want to say, okay, I'm going to set a timer.
Right.
Stay here for this much time.
And that may be, as the article suggests, that may be a time when timeout is just too much or is too elementary of a strategy for your child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Timeout really only works up to about...
It's only going to work till you're six or seven.
Yeah. Right. So after that, you need to get into... That's when you get into the restrictions of taking away things or, you know, taking away responsibilities or not responsibilities. You don't want to take those away. You want to take away privileges and you know, toys and
Then you have more privileges. I mean, what can you take from a four-year-old? And do they understand?
Right.
No, they really don't.
Right.
But they do understand...
Yeah,
it's not that they understand timeout; it's that they're not getting reinforced.
Right,
you don't have to explain anything.
Well, it's they begin to pair timeout with having what they want to be doing taken away from them.
Right.
So they it's not a specific toy necessarily; it's playing or it's you know being outside or whatever it is.
So. But after age 7 or 8, they start to think differently, and you can use a range of other strategies. Right. So, but it's probably
still
only
not spanking.
Be effective.
Not spanking. You probably don't want
the spanking window closes pretty fast.
Pretty fast. So, all right. Well,
use it correctly. If you want to use it, and you're not sure. Give us a call.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll include a link to the article in the show notes. So if you want to check that out. And so, all right, that's it. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.